Today we have a short lesson. It's the last day. We had Sadavani earlier. The fourth reading of Parshas Tzav, which begins the eighth chapter of Leviticus. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Lemer. God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what he says. At this point, we've already concluded the narrative of the different offerings. And now we hear about Moshe Rabbeinu taking Aaron and his children and inducting them into the priesthood. Kach es Aaron, take Aaron, v'ezbonav and his progeny, itoy, together with him. V'eis habigodim, and those clothes, those sacred raiments we've talked about, v'eis shemen hamishcha, and the special anointing oil, v'eis parachatas, and the bullock that will be brought as a sin offering, v'eis shtei ha'elim, and the two rams, v'eis sal hamatzes, and the basket of unleavened bread or wafers. What's going on here? Kach es Aaron, you should take Aaron. Says Rashi, in order to understand and appreciate this parsha, you have to know that Parasha Zu, that this portion of the Torah, which speaks about the seven inaugural days through which the Kohanim were inducted into the priesthood, and all of the vessels and artifacts of the Mishkan were brought into their use. Nemra, this was said, Shivas Yomim Kaidim HaKamas HaMishkan. This was communicated to Moshe Rabbeinu a full 7 days prior to the establishment of the Mishkan. And that, of course, means the 23rd day of Adar, because on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Mishkan was established and set up. Now, that's strange, because we already read in the end of Parshas Pekudei, which is the end of the second book of the Torah, the end of Leviticus, now we're the last words of Exodus. Parshas Pekudei spoke about the Mishkan being established and the presence of God arriving. And here we are, beginning the eighth chapter of Leviticus, and we're 7 days prior to that? Says Rashi, yeah, that's how it is. And the reason is because the Torah is not necessarily written chronologically. Shein muktam u'ma'uchar b'Torah. As a rule, you cannot expect everything to follow chronological order, and therefore, there will always be details which will be slightly out of order. Of course, the Torah tells the story of Avram before Yaakov, and we hear about Moshe Rabbeinu only after Amram and Levi, that's true. But the detailed chronology is not exactly detailed, and you have to know that. So that's what Rashi tells us, and therefore, the fact that the end of Parshas Pekudei, or the book of Exodus, concludes with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and here we are speaking about 23rd day of Adar, should not cause any disarray or question. Okay, let's move on to the actual subject. Kach es Aaron. Kach es Aaron. So incidentally, Ramban in his commentary here, he says that first there was the command, then Moshe Rabbeinu did all these things, and then the Mishkan was put up and taken down, and then finally we come to the end of Parshas Pekudei, kind of developing more of the words of Rashi. Kachas Aaron, take Aaron, says Rashi, does not mean physically taking him or manhandling him. Kochenu bedvarim, use your words to kind of capture his imagination and to bring him in. Mashchehu, and to draw him into what's about to happen, so that he is passionate about this, excited about this. And our sages tell us that Aaron was very uncomfortable about this. He didn't want a leadership position. He felt undeserving, because the last time Moshe Rabbeinu left him at the switches or in the driver's seat, things didn't go well. And now he's being propelled into, once again, this major leadership position. And he was very, very uncomfortable, very unhappy about it. And he didn't want to do it, really. So therefore we hear this notion of kach, you should bring him. And interestingly, the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel says that the word kiruv, which is like a modern word today, right? Bring people close together. The Rebbe didn't like that word, by the way, because the Rebbe said it indicates somebody's a rochek, somebody's far. And the Rebbe said, who knows who's far, who knows who's close? But Targum Yonasan says that Aaron was distanced because of the sin of the golden calf. So sin distances from Hashem. And Moshe Ben's job is lekarev, bring him closer. Anyway, that's the business of Kach es Aaron. And what should you do? You take him, v'ezbonav itoy. So the Shem Olam points out something very interesting. In the Torah, when you want to say a person and somebody else, there's two typical expressions used, imo or ito. He says, here it says ito. What's the difference? And he develops the following idea. He says, imo means with a person. That means it would be an assistance, an aid, like, you know, along with you. You'll go to do a job, and Aaron will go along with you to help, for example. But when we talk about ito, that means raising somebody to the same level. Aaron will have this holiness, but his children will be raised along with him. So it's either kind of somebody is a tag-along, or somebody has a purpose, that's why he's imo, or ito means that you're on the same basic level, you're being elevated in the same fashion. And that's how we have to understand this. Aaron's children were elevated to the same concept of kahuna. They were not the Kohen Gadol, but the kahuna, the concept of the intrinsic holiness that they would now carry and pass on to the future generations, this was the universal for all of the Kohanim. And what do you take? First we hear about parachatas. First we hear about the sin offering. Then we hear about the ola. Then we hear about the ascent offering. And only afterwards are we going to hear about the other details, the korban miluim, the korbanot that were brought for inaugural purposes. If you think about it, the inaugural purposes should have been discovered first. First they have to be inaugurated. After they're inaugurated, then they can bring the different kinds of offerings. And anyway, when it came to offerings, the first korbanot discussed in the beginning of Leviticus was not the sin offering, but rather the ascent offering. It's a higher level of offering. It's a higher level of commitment where everything gets entirely consumed with the Mizbeach. How can we have a different order over here? So the Sefarno tells us something amazing. He says, didn't you just learn that Aaron was distanced by sin? What undoes that distance? What will remove this sense of this barrier between Aaron and HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the sin of the Egel? And the answer is the Korbanot. So the first Korban is a Chatas, the sin offering. The sin offering sort of removes the toxins and takes away that which had become the barrier, the division. And then he said, even an Ola is also a form of atonement. As it says, V'nirtza l'chaper lev, it says about the Ola. So it also brings Kapara, it also brings atonement. And after Aaron will be atoned for because of the sin offering and because of the Ola offering, then you can go ahead and bring the rest of the offerings that start, namely the concept of the inaugural Korbanot, the Korbanot of the Chinuch of Aaron and his children. Verse 3 continues on, V'eskol ha'eda hakel. So Moshe Rabbeinu has a job to take Aaron, and he also has a job to gather the entirety of the Jewish people, El Pesach, El Moed, to the door of the Oel Moed. Now this is very interesting. Rashi succinctly says, hakel, bring them together, El Pesach, Oel Moed. So Rashi points that it doesn't say lefnei, in front of, which could have been an enormous space, but rather it says El Pesach, literally, bring them into the Oel Moed, into the space of the opening of the Oel Moed. Now, that doesn't seem to make any sense, because he said take all of the nation, but the door to the Oel Moed is a relatively small space. How are you going to fit a whole nation into a small space? He didn't say take them and gather them, they'll be in front of the Oel Moed. He said, no, in front of the Oel Moed. So Rashi says, this is one of the places, that a small place was able to contain an enormous amount of people. And the Panim Yafis makes a calculation, a detailed calculation. We know the area of scrimmage of the sacred precincts of the Mishkan. We know how many people there were, because it says, Sheish Me'es V'Shalosh Alef Mi'Yisrael, it's over 600,000. And he makes a calculation that they would have required 1,000 times the space. 1,000 times the space. And he says, this is the meaning of what Moshe Rabbeinu says. He says to the Jewish people later on in the book of Deuteronomy, Yosef Hashem Aleichem Gechem Elef Pamim, I bless you 1,000-fold. The thousandfold is that the people were able to be contained in a space that was 1,000 times too small. Literally, it expanded 1,000 times to be able to contain the whole nation so that everybody should be involved and this should be participatory. Why was it so important for the whole nation to be there? I mean, the Kohanim have to get inducted into the priesthood. There was a Rishon whose name was Rabbi Avram from Garmazia, which I believe is a place in Spain. And he said that it was important for Moshe Rabbeinu to be able to demonstrate to all the Jewish people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven Aaron for the sin of the Egel. Because if they don't have trust in their spiritual leader, he'll never be able to represent him appropriately. And they were always had these niggling doubts. Maybe Hashem didn't forgive him. Maybe he's really not going to be able to represent us in the Mishkan. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said, everybody's got to be there. Everybody will see this. And the subsequent verses, almost the entirety of the fourth reading of Parshas Tzav, deal with Moshe Rabbeinu being the one to empower Aaron and his children for the priesthood, which is kind of almost like a catch-22, because Moshe Rabbeinu is not a Kohen, and he never reaches the level of Kedusha, of holiness, that Aaron and his children are invested with, and yet who brings them to that level? Moshe. So how does that work? So here we'll conclude with a very interesting teaching from the Rebbe. The Rebbe points out that we have Aaron being empowered by Moshe, but Moshe is not a Kohen at all. The bottom of page Kuf Aleph, a brief teaching. Yesh Levayer, this is Simon Chav Zayin. the 27th entry of Parshas Sav, Yesh Levayer Es Panimi Satam, we should try to understand the inner meaning of this notion, Shemeshichas Aaron LeKahuna, that the induction of Aaron into the priesthood was Dafka Yidei Moshe, had to be specifically the hands of Moshe. Al Af Shakahuna Kuhunasa Shal Moshe Atzmei Hoyse B'Daga P'chusa MeKuhunasa Shal Aaron, even though the priesthood of Moshe, and he was to some degree a priest, he had a Kohanic, some Kohanic ability, because he had to serve in the Mishkan for these 7 days until Rosh Chodesh Nisan came along. So from the 23rd day of Adar until Nisan, there was one Kohen, and his name was Moshe. And this Kohen, Moshe, who is a lesser Kohen, because it's not for posterity, it doesn't last, it only has 1 week's application, this lesser Kohen empowers the greater Kohen. How does that work? And what lesson do we learn from it? So the Rebbe says, Mavur b'teres ha-chassidus, it's explained in the teachings of Chassidus. You can find this in Lekut HaTorah and Parshas Maaseh, in many, many places throughout the large corpus of Chabad Chassidus. She Moshe v'Aaron, that Moshe and Aaron, him k'neged Torah u'tfilah, that they conversely represent the notion of the study of Torah, balanced by the art of passionate prayer. Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah. As Malachi, the last of the prophets, says, towards the end of his final missive, he says, Zichru Toiras Moshe Avdi. Never forget the Torah of Moshe. The Torah of Moshe. Torah and Moshe are synonymous. He is, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher. Aharon, conversely, Aaron is Keneged Tefillah. He is emblematic of prayer. Shaharei Tefillos Keneged Korbanos Tiknum. When our sages needed to find something to replace the concept of offerings, which doesn't mean it could actually replace it, and nothing can replace the Beis HaMikdash, but it was going to be in lieu of the offerings. Prayer was around before also. They didn't say mitzvahs are going to be, they didn't say tzedakah is going to be, they didn't say eating food is going to be, even though the shulchan, the table that we sit at, is in some ways metaphorized like the mizbeach, and we do certain things at the table we eat at, which bring to mind the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Nonetheless, when the sages have to look for something and say, okay, this activity is now going to be infused with far greater meaning, it's going to be upgraded and enhanced so that it will be in lieu of the offerings, which thing did they take? They didn't say the Torah. Even though the Gemara says, Kol ha'osek b'toras ola ki'ilu hikrav ola, if you study the details, the halachot, about bringing an ola, it's as if you brought an ola. And even though we say, Uneshama parnes fateinu, that when you read from the Torah, the musaf offerings of a Yom Tov, it's as if we bring those offerings. But still, nonetheless, it wasn't reading from the Torah, it wasn't studying the Torah. Our sages said, when they needed to find something to replace it, what was it? Tfilois, the concept of prayer. So Aaron, therefore, is emblematic of prayer. V'lochein, this helps us understand and appreciate why Meshichas Aharon, with the anointment and an induction of Aaron into the priesthood, had to be al yedei Moshe Dafke. And this is the Moses factor. Priesthood, prayer, is a Moses factor. What's the Moses factor? Shekein hasheirish l'chol hinyonim, the source of everything, is Torah. Torah is the source. He koileles is kol inyonim shebeilim. The Torah includes everything. Kedivri Chazal, like the words of our sages, which are found in the end of the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avot, that it says, Hafachba v'hafachba, turn it and turn it, d'choylova, for everything is in it. Everything is in the Torah, including the concept of prayer. V'lachein sicha gam hatfila, therefore even prayer, which is so different from Torah, meaning the idea of Aaron, has to lavoi mikoyach ha-Torah, can only come from the power of Torah. In the footnote that Rebbe points out of it, the footnote, he says, but after all, prayer comes before Torah. People daven in the morning, and afterwards, they go ahead and they learn a shir, a daily shir. So the Rebbe says, first of all, there is in the preamble to davening, there is Mishnayos, and there is Torah that we study. And second of all, of course, we know that our custom, especially of Hasidim, is we make an effort to learn Torah prior to davening. And this Torah serves as an enhancer and a preparation so that the davening will be meaningful. And that's the idea of Moshe empowering Aaron. The Torah we study empowers and infuses our prayer with greater fervor, meaning, mission, and purpose. And ultimately, everything has to come from Torah Seinu HaKadosha, from our Holy Torah. And with this, we go daven.